All right, let's look in our Bibles this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to talk about old Elijah this morning. Elijah was a great prophet.
Yes, he was.
Unfortunately, Elijah was a man. And Elijah had faults and failures and problems, but at the same time, he was God's man and he was used by God, and God let him do great things. I think in the ministry of the prophets and the judges and stuff like that, I think God let those guys do a lot of things that they wanted to do. And then God let them do everything that he called them to do that they was willing to do. If God calls you to do a thing and you're willing to do it, you can do it. There's no question about that. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now Moses got mad and hit the rock, and water came out of it anyway. He should have just spoke to the rock. That was God's will. That was God's commandment. I've got a sneaking suspicion that God didn't tell Elijah to call down fire and burn up all those soldiers. I just got a feeling he didn't do that. I believe God let him do that. That's what come to his mind. And listen, one of these days we're going to change over. Of course, we're not going to change over, but we're in the kingdom of God right now. And one day, the kingdom of God is going to join hands with the kingdom of heaven. And both of those kingdoms are going to be present on earth. And then there'll be some calling down of fire again. And that's going to take place in the book of Revelation. We already know that. And it'll be stricter and more rigorous rules and regulations to live by and to follow by once the King of Kings is sitting on the throne. But now the King of Kings sits on His throne on the right hand of the Father, and thank God for that. He watches over us as we try to live by faith. And He makes intercession for us. And He empowers us through His Holy Spirit. And I thank God for all those things. But if you're going to sit there and tell me this morning that you don't do a lot of things that you want to do, extra besides what God tells you to do. I mean, a lot of times you got a bad attitude. God didn't tell you to have no bad attitude. But God deals with you and allows you to do some things anyway. And we call it grace, and that's what it is. Amen? But we can say it in a more... we can say it in an easier phrase to make it more understandable. God uses you in spite of you. Amen? God uses you in spite of you. Because God saved you and you're His son. And in a sense, you're God's man or you're God's woman. And you're not going to do everything perfectly, and you're not going to do everything with the right heart. And I'm not saying that just so you can take heart in that and say, well, I'm going to just do things the way I want to. That's not. Things will be better the closer you get to God's will and God's way. A lot of people say just get in God's will, but you ought to get in God's will and do it God's way. Now you can stumble along and bump your head and do it the hard way, which is your way. That's the way Jonah done it. Jonah done it his way. He still got the job done. But he didn't have the right intent. He didn't want to do it. He didn't have the right attitude. He was mad when God was merciful to the city of Nineveh. Doest thou well to be angry? God, I wish sometime you would go through your Bible and as you're reading it, look for the men who kind of made a mistake and then look at the questions that God asked them after they make a mess. Amen? We're going to see one of those here in a little bit. Jonah got done things his own way and got in a mess and finally got the job done he was sent to do in the first place. And I got a sneaking feeling that God knew what he was going to do the whole time anyway with the city of Nineveh. But at any rate, Jonah gets up there to wait and see what's going to happen. I think what he was doing was he was waiting for the fireworks. He preached the message God was going to destroy that city in 40 days. I got a feeling he was waiting for the fire to fall. And then he found out God wasn't going to send no fire. And God said, doest thou well to be angry? Elijah, who we're going to see here in a little bit, Elijah winds up in a cave at the end of his ministry or towards the end of his ministry. And the Lord says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? So that's what we're going to preach about this morning. I'm going to preach about Elijah for a little while. And I want to preach to you on the troubled troublemaker. The troubled troublemaker. Amen. I love the Word of God, don't you? Look what he says in verse number 1 Kings 18 and verse number 17. And it came to pass... Am I reading the right place? Yeah. And it came to pass You get pretty bad, you lose yourself inside of one verse. Lose your place looking at it, and you're in trouble. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, this morning for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace. I pray, God, you'd help me to preach a message this morning, God, that would help your people, that would direct your people, God, that would show us the right way to go. Help us, oh God, to do thy will. And Lord, not only to do your will, but to do it in your way and with your attitude, God, with your direction. Lord, help us to do these things. Bless the sermon. Help me say it as well as I can, God. And Lord, I'll thank you and praise you for what you do in the hearts and lives of men through your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm a little bit tongue-tied this morning. Don't know what it is. I guess I feel pretty good. As a matter of fact, I don't hardly know what it feels like to feel good. I mean, like I do this morning. Usually I stay up all night and get up and on Sunday morning and I'm cloudy-headed. And then you stay up all night Sunday night and you get up early and you're cloudy-headed. And so I think I just feel out of place because I got plenty of sleep last night. And we must have the best baby in the world because that baby didn't cry a lick last night. I went to sleep, slept all night, woke up, everything was fine. Amen? Amen. My eyes closed and we got in the car this morning. I looked over there at Abigail and Abigail going, I said, what's the matter with you? She said, well, it felt like I closed my eyes and just as soon as I closed my eyes, Mama woke me up. I said, I felt the same way. Felt the very same way. But that really means you slept good. Uninterrupted sleep, that's pretty good. So thank God for that. So this morning, I don't want to bore you back to sleep or anything like that. But if you could shake the cobwebs for just a minute, I want to preach to you about this. The troublemaker. Sometimes in doing God's will, things ain't going to turn out like you expect. You're going to do God's will and you're going to do things, and you still might find yourself depressed, or you still might find yourself on the losing end. You still might find yourself on the bottom instead of the top. And all those things are not speaking in terms of how things really are. The Christian who feels the lowest is still better than the sinner that feels his best. We look at things and we feel about things a lot of times when we really ought to trust God for whatever situation that we're in. But I'm going to tell you why it is this morning. I'm going to tell you why it is that sometimes we can do God's will and still wind up mad or still wind up depressed. And I preach to you all the time. And in the Sunday school lesson this morning, I told you that God said, blessed are the peacemakers. That's just what they are. They're blessed. They're happy. You don't have to teach a peacemaker how to be happy because the Bible said He was going to give peacemakers happiness. So you don't have to teach that. If God gives you a gift, you don't have to learn it. That's just what it is. That's just what it is. And But anyway, sometimes you do the will of God and you still end up mad. You know the truth and you're still mad about it. One preacher makes a joke. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you mad. That's true sometimes as well. That's true sometimes as well. But look what he says here in the verse 15. Elijah said, back to verse 17. I lost my place again. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now the world's going to turn that around on you every time. You're the troublemaker. You're causing all this division. They come and say, You're causing division. He says, I'm just following my Lord and Master. He said, I came to divide, not to send peace on the earth. The Lord is a divider. He's a divider between right and wrong. He's a divider between light and dark. He's a divider between good and bad, between good and evil. He's a divider between the sheep and the goats. Amen? And so, listen, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He was pointed out as an evildoer. The Lord Jesus Christ was numbered with the transgressors. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do right and they accused Him of doing wrong. They said, this is a wine bibber. This is a glutton. This man works on the Sabbath. This man blasphemes. And listen, the whole religious crowd and the whole worldly crowd, all of them pointed their finger at him and mocked. You're the guy that's mad. And surely you know, you folks have been living in Folkestone longer than I have. And you folks have known me just as long as I've known you. You know what people say around town. Brother Mike, he's just too mean. That's what they said about Jesus. Brother Mike ain't mean. Every one of you in this church, just about every one of you, we may have a visitor or two here this morning that hadn't ever talked to me before, but you know who I am. I'm not mean. I ain't big enough to be mean. Amen? A fellow like me can't afford to have no attitudes. Amen? When you're just a small fellow, you can't afford to have them attitudes. You know who I am, but you also know what folks say. What they mean is he preached against some sin that I love and it offended my sensibilities. That's what they mean. And listen, that's exactly what Ahab is saying to Elijah here. Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And Elijah said, no, it ain't me that's troubling Israel. It's you and your daddy's house. He said, because you've forsaken the commandments of God, you haven't done what God told you to do. You're the one that's leading everybody to do all this devilment. He said, it's not me and my crowd. Elijah said, it's not me and my crowd that caused the trouble. The Lord been here before all of us. Amen. Amen? The church was here before you was born. And it was in better shape before you was born. We messed it up. Amen. We're not the troublemakers. The world's the troublemakers. Amen. That's what he's telling Ahab here. Came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel. You ought to be on the good side, not the troublemaker side. Now, they're going to call you troublemakers. They're going to paint it in light where you're the one that's the terrorist. You're the one that's the extremist. You're the one that's the fundamentalist. You're the one that's the Bible believer. You're the one that's not getting along. Well, we can't get along with wickedness. We can't get along with wickedness. Somebody told me one time I got mad up here. I went through the McDonald's drive-thru and some old sissy-fied boy made a pass at me and I got mad at him. He said, you should have put up with that. I ain't putting up with that. No, sir, I ain't putting up. If you're a man, don't wink at me. If you're a man, don't talk sweet to me. Amen? You folks might have to come bail me out sometime. I'm not going to get along with a sissy, effeminate boy. Whether he's a homosexual or not. Amen. Don't talk sweet. Amen. Amen. You want to talk sweet? Go talk sweet to your wife or your mother. Amen. Talk like a man. You know what? That's why people put so much stock in John Wayne and all these other fellas. I can't think of them right offhand. Clint Eastwood. All those fellas, they get on TV and they act tough. ACT. They're acting. They wouldn't fight you for nothing. They get on. That's manly. There's something appealing to that. And so they get to be men for the rest of America while they sit behind four walls and do nothing. I don't know where that came from. But listen, the first time you get manly and stand up for something, you're going to be called the troublemaker. Yeah. Listen, you ladies, the first time you make a stand, say, I'm going to be God's woman. I'm going to stand up for principle. I'm going to stand up right. I'm going to stand up for what's right. And I'm going to do what a mother and what a godly woman ought to do. You're going to be labeled. You're going to be labeled. You're going to be the one that carries the label for that. But just go ahead and do it. Because it's okay. God is behind you. Amen? God is leading you and you're doing just fine. But you're going to be labeled a troublemaker. Now look in 1 Kings 18 verse number 3. Let's see a little something about Elijah here. Verse number 2. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah. Now this is not the Obadiah that wrote the book of Obadiah. That's not him. The ministry of Elijah took place about 900 B.C., 910, something like that. The Obadiah that wrote the book of Obadiah, that was 538 B.C. That's a lot of difference right there. A lot of difference in time right there. But just so you don't get that, say, how do you know, Brother Mike? I looked it up because you could get confused and make a fool out of yourself opening your mouth about something you don't know. So I looked it up. Not the same fellas. But how many of you knew there was a book in the Bible called Obadiah? Anyway, Praise the Lord. Now you know. You learned something at church today. Amen. There's a book of Obadiah. And Ahab, look, verse 3. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Did you know that's a true statement? Obadiah works in the enemy's house. He works in the devil's house. Ahab is a bad king, and Jezebel is a bad queen. But in their house, over the house of Ahab, there's one of God's men, a prophet. It's funny the way that happens. Egypt is a type of the world. Who did God put in charge of it? Joseph. Babylon is a type of a spiritual wickedness, a type of the seed of the Antichrist. And who did God put in charge of it? Daniel. Mason, how that happened. Go through and study that a little bit. Listen, when the Antichrist comes and begins to rule and reign on this earth for that very short period of time, I wouldn't be surprised if one of God's people was right at the forefront of it. That's something to think about, eh? Kind of gives me chills to think about. I'm glad I'll be gone. I don't want to be next to the Antichrist. I'm scared of ghosts, goblins, and Antichrist. Amen? Amen. Ain't no such thing as a ghost, by the way. Anyway. But look. Yeah. I knew it. But anyway, let's look here. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave. 50 in one cave, 50 in another. And fed them with bread and water. Now I added that to make... Don't sit there with the question. Where did Brother Mike see that? That's what it means to hide them by 50. That 50 in one, 50 in another. And so I didn't add to the Word of God. I just explained to you what He's talking about. Some of you looking, man, don't say that, don't. Do I got the wrong button? No, you got the right one. I was just trying to help you out. So look what he says. Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Good meals, huh? And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass and to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that, my lord Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation nor kingdom or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him that day. Now, make sure you get the story right here. Ahab says, we're going to die if we don't get no water. Our horses are going to die. Our mules is going to die. We need some water. So you go this way and look, and I'll go this way. And old Obadiah, boy, he's seen a bad day. Sometimes a blessing looks like it's awful bad. But he goes out, and as he's searching for this water, he finds Elijah. He don't know it, but he just found water. Amen? But see, he don't know that yet. But at any rate, he finds Elijah, and Elijah says, I want you to go tell Ahab to come meet me. I'm ready to meet him. And he was telling the truth. But Obadiah, he done seen Elijah escape so many times, he said, no, sir. He said, if I go tell the king you're here, and I bring him over here, the Lord's going to carry you away, and I'm going to get killed. And ain't you heard? He said, I love the Lord. Amen. Things get difficult. People go to loving the Lord. You ever notice that? Oh, Lord, I love you. If you'll get me out of this trouble, I'll love you even more. That's the way folks deal with God. But he said, I love the Lord. I believe. He said, I fear the Lord is actually what he said. But he said, I fear the Lord from my youth. He said, and guess what I've done? He said, when Jezebel was trying to kill all them prophets, I took them and hid them. I hid them. And there's no doubt in my mind that in the back of Elijah's mind, he's saying, prophets hiding in a cave? Prophets hiding in the cave? Boy, if they was as spiritual as me, they'd be out here fighting the good fight of faith. What do you bet that he was saying that? What do you bet he was saying? I believe that's what he was saying, don't you? Look at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 22. Well, verse number 21. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? When are you going to make up your mind? That's what he's saying. If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. Hey, if the devil is God, just go ahead and follow. Amen? If that's where you get your peace and your satisfaction, just go ahead and follow him. He said, but don't halt between two opinions. Either serve God or serve the devil. Serve Baal. Baal is a representation of the devil, by the way. He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They didn't say amen. They were Presbyterians. Amen. Verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. No, he just met one, Obadiah. No, there was 100 more hiding in the cave. But you see what Elijah thought when he met Obadiah. He met Obadiah. Obadiah said, I done heard all these prophets. And Elijah, in the back of his mind, he's saying, no, you ain't serving the Lord like I am. You're not a prophet like I am. Because if you was a prophet like me, you'd be out here standing up to the king like me. You'd be out here running and putting your life in jeopardy just like me. That's exactly what Elijah said. Have you ever done that to anybody? Have you ever read your Bible and because somebody else don't read the Bible as much as you, they don't know the Lord? Well, sure, they know the Lord. They don't know Him as good as they could because they ain't not reading their Bible. You see, in a sense, Elijah was correct. You know, every single one of those prophets could have got out and withstood the king and they'd have been okay. God might have let some of them die. But that would have just meant more rewards. But you know what? I guarantee you, this is how people are. And I know Elijah because Elijah's a man. The Bible says in the New Testament that Elijah was of like passion as we are. Amen? That's what he said. You know what would have happened, Brother Curtis, if those prophets would have come out and started preaching against Ahab and would have started gotten the ministry going? Elijah would have probably went, well, they can't tell it as good as me. When they're not doing nothing, he said, them men ought to be out doing something. And just as soon as they started doing something, he would have said, well, they're not doing it right. There's no question in my mind about that. You say, how do you know? Because I know men. I know men, amen? If the 100 were not preaching, they're no good. If they are preaching, oh, they're just silly. They need to study that passage a little bit more. I know how people are. I know how Elijah is. Elijah was mad at the cave dwellers. He said, I only am a prophet. Ain't that what he said? Verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophet are 450 men. Now, Elijah's in a bad shape here. And don't get me wrong, I think you ought to be faithful and you ought to preach. And you ought to stand up for what's right and for what's wrong. But listen, while you're serving God and while you're doing what God called you to do, don't get bitter about what everybody else is doing or because everybody else is not doing it your way. You keep your mind off of them, and if you're going to put your mind on them, you better go to praying for them. Amen? I try to tell you that as often as I possibly can. If there's a preacher I disagree with, you can bet your bottom dollar he gets prayed for by me. Because I don't want to go to heaven and have God point His finger in my face. Of course, it wouldn't be bad to be called Elijah. But I don't want God to point His finger at me and say, hey, Elijah, you spent your time worried about you being the only one rather than me being the only one. Did you know that Jesus Christ is the only one that has the right to say, I only am left? When you begin to say, I, you're talking like the devil. The devil said, I will ascend. I am going to set my throne above the throne of God. That's the profession of the devil. Got to be careful about that. If he knew what I knew, he wouldn't do what he does. That's dangerous. That's dangerous talk. Especially it's dangerous for the person that's trying to find God's will and do it. It's going to cause bitterness in you. It's going to cause some fault or failure in you that you don't have to experience. You can be right and get away with it. You can't do good and get away with it, but you can be right and get away with it. Amen? Amen? And you can preach the truth. Amen? What Elijah should have done when Obadiah said that he was hiding those prophets? Maybe God didn't call those prophets to do what he called Elijah to do. Maybe God hid those 100 prophets so that when the false prophets were done away with, the good prophets could come out and take over the ministry. Amen? Well, I find, you know, you see, you ride by and a lot of people gets their religion off of church signs. Did you know that? But sometimes you ride by a church sign and one of them will say, you and God are a majority. Well, that's true. Matter of fact, God's a majority by Himself. He don't need you. Amen? God's a majority by Himself. But in a sense, that's true. Listen, if God calls you to do a thing, He don't need nobody else to help you. You can do it. God didn't call y'all. God called you. And then in a greater sense, God called the church, so don't get way out ahead of the church and get shot because you all by yourself. Amen? That's not part of the message. That's just free. But anyway, amen? God called you. Listen, if God called Elijah, He didn't need them other 100 prophets. Keep them in a cave where they'll be all right. Amen? See, there's a lot of different ways to look at a thing. Y'all still with me? I don't want to lose you. I'm about done. I don't want to surprise you. Listen, I don't want to give you a heart attack if you're out of here by 10 after 12 or whatever time it is, 10 after 12. But you're going to get out early today. Let me make this point. You can go home and eat your stew or whatever. Amen? Now, the problem here with Elijah is he's just a little bit lift up in his own faithfulness. And I can promise you this. When you get lifted up in pride in your own faithfulness to God, God is going to let you go through a valley very soon. God's going to let you go through a dry spell. God's going to let you go through a trial to show you that you are a man and not God. Amen. You're saved by God. You're not God. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about you need to compromise and be happy when the rest of the world ain't doing it right or when the rest of the brethren ain't doing it right. No, you preach the truth, but let it be between them and God, the outcome. I've had many a dull services because I was trying to make you get right with God myself. I can't do it. It's up to you to believe. It's up to you to follow God. But boy, you want to get bitter as a preacher. You just get upset because everybody ain't doing it. They're not doing it like I told them. I'm the only one that understands what I'm talking about. That's a bad way. It's a good way to wind up depressed. It's a good way to wind up discouraged. It's a good way to wind up defeated. You just do what God tells you. Hey, like I said before, you don't have to teach a peacemaker how to be happy. Amen? You don't have to teach a transgressor how to be depressed either. The way the transgressor is hard. That's just all there is to it. Amen? Now look in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Now, in between what we've read in chapter 18 and verse 19, Elijah done killed all the false prophets. He done got the victory, amen? He come out there and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? You need to serve God or you need to serve Baal. He calls out these false prophets and said, me and you are going to have a contest. I'm going to call on my God and you're going to call on yours. Elijah called on his and they called on theirs and theirs didn't answer because he was on a long journey. Amen? He was off somewhere, Elijah said. Your God out playing golf or something. I don't know where your God is. He said, but I'm going to call on my God now. And he said, just to show you, we're going to take 12 barrels of the most valuable stuff on this planet right now, water, and soak it down. And we're going to call on God. And God burned up the barrels and the water and the sacrifice and the altar and everything. So he got a great victory. And so he'd done a very negative thing after that. He pulled out his sword and said, now all you prophets lined up. How one prophet got 400 prophets to line up to get their heads cut off, I don't know. How one preacher can get 400 sinners to line up and give their life to Jesus, I don't know. Must be the power of God involved there somewhere. But boy, he cut their heads off, and boy, that must have been an interesting experience. And after that, he got the victory. He said, look over yonder and see what's going on. Here comes a little cloud of water. They got the water. Anyway, all of this stuff, all that stuff involved in the story. My mind's too cluttered to tell you the whole story right now. But anyway, you get the point. Now, Ahab done lost all of his prophets, and they weren't really Ahab's prophets. They really belonged to Jezebel. Amen? It must have been the Catholic Church belonged to a woman. Amen? That's true. Don't get mad at me. Church that belongs to a woman. It's a Catholic church. She rides a beast and dressed in scarlet. You know what I'm talking about. So here's old Ahab. He done lost all the prophets. I guess he left the house with all of his wife's possessions, and he's going to come back home empty-handed. Amen? So he comes back and he said, look, verse 19, verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. You know what that preacher said to me? I wonder how many men went home. After coming to People's Baptist Church, and men go, do you hear what Brother Mike said today? Him hurt my feelings. That's what Ahab's doing. He went home and said, Jezebel, sugar honey, Elijah killed all of our prophets. That's what he done. That's what he did when he couldn't get Nadab's vineyard. I hope I got that name right. But anyway, he said, he won't sell me his vineyard. And Jezebel said, it's okay, sugar. I'll get you that vineyard. And she went and got it for him. Old Jezebel don't know it, but she's about to get her last getting. Amen? But he says, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. Wonder why Ahab didn't send the message. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. You would think, now what you're thinking is, if I was Elijah, I would have said, now you wait a minute, Mr. Messenger, and I'll give you a message to take back to her. And you write down, just turn her paper and write down, you ain't got no God. I don't care what you say. I'll be waiting right here for you. Now Elijah done stood down 400 prophets and said, my God's better than your God, and your God is no God, and your God's off on a long journey. My God's going to answer, and I'm going to cut your head off. That's brave. But here's a woman that serves the same God them prophets done. The gods do more to me also, and more, if I don't have you, your head cut off by tomorrow morning. And oh, Elijah turns tail and runs. Run. Why? I don't know. I believe God made him run. I believe God made him afraid. Look what he says in verse 3. When he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Scared to death. Just stood off 400 prophets. Just killed all those prophets. Proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that his God was more able than the gods of the heathen. And then he says he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now let's get a picture of what's going on here. Elijah comes out to find Ahab, and he finds Obadiah. Obadiah goes out to find water, and he finds Elijah. Those two fellows run all into each other. They said, go tell Ahab I want to meet him. And he said, now if I go tell Ahab you want to meet him, then when I bring back Ahab, God's going to move you. And then Ahab's going to kill me. Now don't get me killed, Elijah, because I've hid all these prophets in a cave. In the back of his mind, Elijah says, they make prophets so they wouldn't be hiding. He goes off and he tells the people of Israel, I am the only prophet left. You know what he's thinking. So he goes off and he stands up against all the prophets, and God gives him a great victory. God gives him a great victory, and the owner of those prophets, a vicious Catholic woman, Jezebel, she said, I'm going to do the same thing to you. And God clouds old Elijah's mind with fear And Elijah runs for his life. You follow me so far?
Amen.
All right. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse, verse number 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I'm not better than my fathers." He said, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking of the coals and a cruse of water in his hand. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Now look here in verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave. You see that? You see where Elijah is? He's right smack dab in the same place. He was making fun and making light of all those prophets for me. Now let me tell you, just as soon as you get high-minded as a Christian and begin to look around as a Christian and begin to point at other Christians and say, "I would never do that because I'm smarter than that. I'm more faithful than that. I'm more spiritual." You would never catch me in the cave when there's a fight to be had. God gave him a woman. God gave him a journey that was too great for him. God gave him a fear of that woman. And hey, he wound up right smack dab in the middle of a cave. What's he doing? He's hiding. Just like those prophets he pointed the finger at. Just like them. How about that? How about that? Amen? Elijah. Listen. Elijah was a prophet killer. Elijah was a king maker. Elijah was a king maker. Look down in the, let me see, chapter 19, verse number 15. And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay." You see what God's doing? He's still using this prophet to set up kings, to kill prophets, to take down kings. He is still using this man because it's God's power and God's battle, not ours. But along the way of Christianity, if you get high-minded and lifted up and begin to point the finger at other folks and begin to look down at other folks and begin to point out everything that they're doing and let that lift you up with pride, you're in trouble because you're going to wind up in the same condition they are in. He was a prophet killer. He was a king maker. He was God's man, yet he caused himself trouble by justifying himself by the shortcomings of others. He caused himself trouble by justifying himself using the shortcomings of others. You're not justified by your good works. You're not justified by being more zealous. You're not justified by being more informed. And listen, you sitting right there on your pew, or me standing right here in this pulpit, we can be just as bad as anybody on this planet. All God's got to do is cloud your mind up with that same fear that God gave Elijah of Jezebel. Because I guarantee that this little hideout in the cave was planned by God Almighty to teach Elijah that there's only one God. There's only one power. There's only one truth. Hey, "I am the way, the truth, and the life" applies to Christians as well as sinners. Amen? He's the only way. What you ought to do is you ought to simply strive to follow God. And listen, to be a help to those that need it. You know, old Elijah out there talking to Obadiah, he should have said, "I'll be praying for you boys in that cave. I'm glad y'all safe." Amen? And I'm sure that According to the Scripture and according to the Spirit of God, God could have spoke to Elijah and said, "Now them boys shouldn't be." If it's true, He could have spoke to Elijah and said, "Hey, they shouldn't be in there. They should be out fighting a good fight of faith. Won't you pray for them?" And Elijah could have said, "Lord, they could be doing better than that." Now, it's a prophet, it's a preacher, it's the man of God, it's a Bible teacher. It's his job to put a difference between right and wrong. But boy, you better do that with the correct attitude. Because what you hate, you're going to experience. Whatever it is that you allow yourself as a Christian or as a preacher or as a Sunday school teacher, whatever it is that you use, whatever fault it is in others that you use to exalt yourself or use an excuse to get by with what you want to get by with, God's going to visit that to you. And it's not, it could be a whooping. It could be discipline. But it could also just be to help you grow, help you learn, help you be a better Christian, help you be a better prophet or preacher or witness, whatever the case may be. So you should simply strive to follow God and be a help to those that need strength. To those that, you know, some folks may not be as bold as you. Pray for them. Some people may not be as big a Bible scholar as you. Pray for them and then help them every once in a while. Give them some instruction. We live in a land today where people are afraid to correct one another. Amen? Hey, there's nothing wrong with pulling somebody aside and saying, "Listen, this, what you're doing is not right. This is not right. What you need to do is you need to correct this." You know, some of our grandmothers, bless their heart, and some of our mothers, bless their heart, one of the greatest reasons that we love them and are attached to them because they give us the correction that we needed in our lifetime. You'd be surprised how that'll endear. So when you help somebody and save them a lot of trouble down the road, people tend to love you for that. Amen? Folks who need strength, folks that need inspiration. Some people just don't see no reason to serve God. For some people, it's just easier to sit in the cave than to get out and go door knocking. Amen?
Amen.
If you get high-minded, this is the message of the message. If you get high-minded, God can put you in your place. Amen? Amen? Luke number 13, let me read you this verse and we'll go to the house. Luke chapter 13, good old lucky 13. Any 13 in the Bible is lucky, ain't it? Luke chapter 13, verse number 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." One of the biggest downfalls of the Christian is that he sees trouble in other people's life, but fails to see the trouble and the shortcomings in his own life. He'll say, "God, look, that tower just fell on all them people and killed them all. I'm still alive. I must be right." But Jesus said, no. He said, "Except ye repent, you're going to perish just like that." He said, "Hey, Pilate killed those people. He surely did." He said, "And you're still here, but if you don't repent, you're going to likewise perish." But see, you might have more Bible knowledge. You may have a better record at coming to church all the time. You may have a better record at tithing. But don't get so high-minded that you look down at those who hadn't come up to your level yet. Pray for them. Because God can let you fall into a place where you can't make it to church. God might let you fall into a place where you're depressed all the time. God can find a way to bring you down to the point, to any point, that's causing you to lift yourself up. I better say that better. God can cause you to come down to any point that you're using as a way to lift yourself up. Look what he's doing. Look what she's doing. I would never do that. I guarantee you would. You can be just as bad as anybody else. Amen. You say, what's the key factor? The grace of God.
Amen.
The goodness of God.
Amen.
The will of God. The blessings of God. It's to those who will follow His will with the right attitude, with the right methods, with the right goals, with the right aims in mind. Not with the high mind. It's not you and God. It's God for you. Amen? It's God leading you. It's God's ideas. It's God's Word. It's God's church. It's God's method. He just lets us play along. Amen? Let's play along with the right attitude. Molly, you come and play for me this morning, if you would. How about let's come and ask God to help us to do things the right way, the godly way, with a good attitude. Are you a Christian that gets mad all the time about everything? I mean, I've found my place myself, and sometimes it's good to get mad. Sometimes it's good to get you back up, as they used to say. Sometimes it's good to get motivated and angry and contend for the things of God, but not to the point where you're using other people's weaknesses and faults and sins to justify who you are. The only thing that justifies you is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's a good God. He's merciful to us in that He's used us, in that He's called us, and that He would even look our way. He's been so good to us. We ought to keep that in mind. And listen, the very same thing that He has done with us, all that stuff He's taught you, all that stuff He showed you, all the many blessings He's given you, He can do that for others. God can take that same goodness and that same grace that He's bestowed on you, and He can bestow that on your neighbor, your workmate, your family, your friends, your mother, your father, your cousin, even your enemies. God can do great things if you've got the right biblical attitude, the right biblical outlook. Heavenly Father, I thank You, dear God, for Your mercy and for Your grace. I pray, Heavenly Father, You would help these folks that's come to the altar this morning, those that are in their seat. They've heard the Word of God. Lord, this congregation, I pray You would help this place. Help our people, dear God, to have these biblical characteristics, dear God, these godly characteristics of a man that's just centered on Your will. Women that are centered on Your will, dear God, and when others don't live up to our standards, help us to help them up, God. We may come to a time of separation. We may come to a time of proclamation of evil. But God, help us to do our dead level best to keep the right kind of attitude, an attitude of compassion and love and charity towards folks that are not as educated or not as talented or not as gifted or don't know as much as we think we are. Lord, I pray You'd help us. Lord, those of us that have learned, God, help us to help others to learn. Those of us that have done, God, help us to teach those that are not doing to do. And God, I'll thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. God, thank You for Your mercy towards this congregation. Help us. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed You. And Lord, use us is my plea. Help us, oh God, is my plea. Lord, help us as we go to our homes. Keep us safe. Bring us back safe tonight at the appointed time. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen.